There's just too many rages, too many infinite screams at night. We're living in concrete cages. Another child is doomed to be torn in his mother's womb by the spark of the 12 gauges. Sometimes it seems like I can't go on, I can't go on. But when I envision a black man with thorns in his hands on a crucifix, I get strong. Never will I ever let a devil ever deceive me again, mislead me, cause I'ma hit you where it's gonna hurt. Because the flesh is meaningless, it remains amongst the dirt. But the soul is uplifted, 10-31-67, I'm God gifted. The season change and it grows like a fungus. Beware the evil that walks among us. Behold, the fallen angel, hawk, the rebel, the mark of 666, the devil. You better beware cause he's coming behind you. No, it doesn't take long for him to find you. It's a sneak attack, black. He's gonna smack you in the form of a rock that's inside of a capsule. Or maybe in the form of a man that says to trust me and then begins to shake your hand. But when you examine your hand, you learn you're alarmed that your palm was disfigured and burned. No, 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 it's not surprising. Open your book, look to the horizon. Start scoping, open your eyes and strive to study the Holy Quran. I'm reading the Holy Bible, I'm making a getaway. Plan, it's gonna be a better way. It's gotta be a better day.
Upon me and grant me sight for what I can't see. For you are the shepherd and I shall not want to front. Just to be blunt, I won't flunk. For I am blessed with the gift of knowledge without calling. But now let's shift into the specific dimension that we call Earth, where God gave us the gift of birth. That's why now Ephesians 6 tells you to teach the child. Revelation tells about today's wars, the guns, the diseases, homicides over epidemics and crackpots. Got guns going buck, 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 buck. And when you look up, you see a kid got struck. But mentally the blood pours out of the mother's heart, cause it hurts to lose a Lucifer spark. Yes, for I have seen the light that shines bright even in the dark of the night. And I thank thee for constantly watching over me. There are about 450,000 homeless without housing. Brothers sharing cells and sharing beds. They can't seek a job if his hair has dreads. Sit back and face reality with these lyrics. I hope they can uplift your spirits.
We're living in the last days. We're living in the last days.
Cause God made water, air, trees, food, man, woman, land, fire, grass, animals, clouds, and sun rays. The shine on the parents of those 26 kids that died last year. And it's a shame, it's a crying shame. Sometimes I felt that I was there. You better get up and wipe the coal out your eyes and get right with the master of the sky.
Seats in the presence of the Lord as you pray to gather with me on this theme for tonight's message, confusing God and government. Confusing God and government. If you were to ask the average Christian, did Jesus cry? almost every Christian would quote for you that John 11:35 verse, which most Bible students call the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. It is the verse, you will remember, that is found in the middle of the story about the death of Lazarus. The Lord Jesus, his friend. Jesus loved Lazarus, his friend. Lazarus had died. Jesus was outside the village of Bethany. He had not yet reached the city limits. Martha had met him, and he and Martha had talked. Martha was mad, and she let the Lord know that she was mad. Jesus had reassured her with words she did not understand. I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. And whosoever liveth and believeth shall never die. He had reassured her. She didn't understand those words, but at least he had calmed her down for just a little bit. She left Jesus there and went back to the house and called her sister Mary and told her privately, Jesus is here and he is calling for you. And when Mary heard those words, she got up quickly and went to where Jesus was, just outside of Bethany. When those who were grieving with her saw her get up quickly and go out, they ran along with her. You find that story in John 11. They thought she was going to her brother's grave site to grieve. And when Jesus saw her crying, and when Jesus saw those who were trying to console her crying, he started weeping. The text says he was greatly disturbed in spirit and he was deeply moved. He asked Mary and Martha, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And he cried. Jesus wept. You know, death will make you weep. When you lose somebody that you love, you will weep. When you lose somebody who is close to you, the tears will come. I ain't telling you about nothing that I read in a book somewhere. I'm telling you what I know from personal experience. I'm not telling you what I studied in pastoral counseling. I'm telling you what I have lived through. When the pain of death hits and the pain is deep, when the pain of death hits and the pain is personal, when the finality of death comes crashing in on you and those words, never again, move from the region of possibility into the heart-wrenching realm of reality. That smile that made your day, never again will you see it. That laughter that lit up your world, never again will you hear it. That wisdom that anchored your soul, never again will you experience it in this life. When that happens to you, my beloved, you will weep, you will cry. Jesus wept, Jesus cried. And most Christians learn very early in their walk of faith that John 11, 35 verse, what does it say? Jesus, come on. You know that's the first Bible verse you memorized. You just go around the table having to say a Bible verse for dinner. What's your Bible verse? Jesus wept. But guess what? Guess what? Tonight's text teaches us that that is not the only time that Jesus wept. On this day that we call Palm Sunday, when the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully, as we just read, for all the deeds of power that they had seen. On the Sunday that we call Palm Sunday, as Jesus rode on the colt, on the Sunday before Maundy Thursday, the Sunday before Good Friday, while some of the Pharisees in the crowd tried to stop the praise of the procession that was taking place, on the Sunday before he was put to death on a cross, stretched between two thieves, the Sunday that he said, if these who are praising me hold their peace, then the rocks will cry out. On the Sunday before he sealed our salvation, as he came near the city, the text we just read said, in the midst of the praise, Luke tells us that he wept over the city. He cried for his people who did not know the things that make for peace. He cried for his people because they were blinded by their culture. They were blinded by their condition. They were blinded by their circumstance. They were blinded by their oppression. They were blinded by being in A spot where they desired, deeply desired, revenge. And they could not see the things that make for peace. We keep forgetting. And we need to remember Jerome Ross wrote about it. I keep reminding you of it. Write it down so you don't forget. These people had, in Luke 19, an occupying army living in their country. Jesus, in verse 43, calls them their enemies. Say enemies. Their enemies had all the political power. Remember, they had to send Jesus to a court presided over by the enemy. A provisional governor appointed by their enemies ran the civic and the political affairs of their capital. He had backing him up an occupying army with superior soldiers. They were commandos trained in urban combat and trained to kill on command. Remember, it was soldiers of the 3rd Marine Regiment of Rome who had fun with Jesus, who was mistreated as a prisoner of war. An enemy of the occupying army stationed in Jerusalem to ensure the mopping up action of Operation Israeli Freedom. These people were blinded by the culture of war. Do you know what it is like to live under military rule 24/7, 365? These people were blinded by their circumstance of oppression. Their enemies not only had all of the political power with Governor Pontius Pilate, y'all call him Pontius Pilate, he's Italian, Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate was running the provisional government. Their enemies also had the military power. They not only had political power, they had the military power. It was Roman soldiers who kept Jesus up all night. It was the Italian army who led Jesus out to Calvary on Friday morning. It was the occupying military brigade who forced Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross for Jesus. These people were tired of their oppression. They wanted the enemy up out of their land. Some of them did, some of them did. Not the businessmen, not those in bed with the enemy. Let's be clear. But the average citizen wanted them out, and they also wanted revenge. They wanted their king to get this military monkey off their backs. They wanted a regime change, if you will. And look what they called Jesus. Look at it in verse 38. They called Jesus the king. Look at verse 38. They call him the king. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. They want their king. See, their king, they saw God, the Lord, getting ready to do something about their situation. Blinded by the pain of their situation, they could not see the things that make for peace, y'all. So Jesus cried. Let me help you. The military does not make for peace. The military only keeps the lid on for a little while. The military doesn't make for peace. And the absence of armed resistance doesn't mean the presence of genuine peace. Somebody needs to hear me tonight. You're not hearing me. War does not make for peace. We said at the 11 o'clock service, fighting for peace is like raping for virginity. War does not make for peace. War only makes for escalating violence and a mindset to pay the enemy back by any means necessary. When your wife or your children have been crushed by the enemy, when your mother or your father have been mowed down by the military, peace is not on your mind. Paybacks is the only game in town. You just bide your time and you wait for your opportunity, but somebody is going to pay dearly for the permanent damage that has come into your life and wrecked your world as it rocked your world. Military might doesn't make for peace. War does not make for peace. Occupying somebody else's country doesn't make for peace. Killing those who fought to protect their own homes doesn't make for peace. Press conferences claiming victory do not make for peace. Regime change, substituting one tyrant for another tyrant with the biggest tyrant pulling the puppet strings of all the tyrants, that does not make for peace. Colonizing a country does not make for peace. If you don't believe me, look at Haiti, look at Puerto Rico, look at Angola, look at Zimbabwe, look at Kenya, look at Astor Boys in South Africa. Colonization does
make for peace, and subjugation only makes for temporary silence. It does not make for peace. These people who wanted a new king were blinded by their circumstances, and it made Jesus cry because they missed the meaning of his ministry. Turn to your neighbor and say, they missed the meaning of his ministry. When Jesus says you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God, down to verse 44, Jesus is saying you did not recognize the time of my ministry. You did not see the meaning of my ministry. You are missing the real things that make for peace. You are confusing external appearances with internal power. You're looking at the man, and you're not looking at the one that the man represents. You are looking at the miracle. That's verse 37, when the deeds of power, they were praising God. Deeds of power, that's the miracle. Sight to the blind, deeds of power. Hearing to the deaf, deeds of power. Speech to the mute, deeds of power. Cleansing of the lepers, deeds of power. Wholeness to the broken, deeds of... You are looking at the miracles and missing the meaning behind the miracle. A miracle is just a sign. A sign only points to something or points the way to something. Don't get fixated on the sign and miss completely what the sign is pointing to. The deeds of power point to a God who is greater than any physical limitation, and a God who can overcome any limiting situation. The things that make for peace, only God can give. Y'all looking to the government for that which only God can give. No wonder he wept. He had good cause to cry. These people under oppression were confusing God and government. Say, confusing God and government. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to hang out here homiletically for just a little while, and then I'm going to let you go home. I have got to pause here, however, as a pastor, because a lot of people still confuse, 2,000 years later, they still confuse God with their government. Now, see, we can see clearly the confusion in the mind of a few Muslims. And please notice, I did not say all Muslims. I said a few Muslims who see Allah as condoning killing and killing any and all who don't believe what they believe. They call it jihad. We can see clearly the confusion in their minds, but we cannot see clearly what it is that we do. We call it crusade. When we turn right around and say that our God condones the killing of innocent civilians as a necessary means to an end. We say that God understands collateral damage. We say that God knows how to forgive friendly fire. We say that God will bless the shock and awe as we take over unilaterally another country, calling it a coalition, because we got three guys from Australia going against the United Nations, going against the majority of Christians, Muslims, and Jews throughout the world, making a preemptive strike in the name of God. We cannot see how what we are doing is the same thing Al-Qaeda is doing under a different color flag, calling on the name of a different God to sanction and approve our murder and our mayhem. And let me tell you something. Jesus said something about that too. Oh yes, he did. Jesus said, how can you see the speck in your brother's eye and can't see the log in your own eye? Well, I submit to you that we can't see it, first of all, because we don't see nobody who don't look like us, dress like us, talk like us, worship like us as brother. And Jesus calls them brother. We demonize them, and that makes it all right to kill them because our God is against demons. Then we can't see the speck, most of all, because we equate our government with our God. We confuse government and God. Let me tell you something. We believe in this country, and we teach our children that God sent us to this promised land. He sent us to take this country from the Arawak, the Susquehanna, the Apache, the Comanche, the Cherokee, the Seminole, the Choctaw, the Hopi, and the Arapaho. We confuse government and God. We believe God sanctioned the rape and robbery of an entire continent. We believe God ordained African
slavery. We believe God makes Europeans superior to Africans and superior to everybody else too. We confuse God and government. We said in our founding documents, as a government, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Created, that means God, and endowed with a certain inalienable right, that means given by God. And then we define Africans in those same documents as three-fifths of a person. We believe God approved of African slavery. We believe God approved segregation. We believe God approved apartheid. And the document says that all men are created more equal than other men. And we're talking about white men. We confuse God and government. We believe God approves of 6% of the people on the face of this earth controlling all of the resources on the face of this earth, while the other 94% live in poverty and squalor, while we give trillions of dollars of tax breaks to the white rich. We believe God was a founding member of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. Look at the lily whiteness of the G7 nations the next time you see a picture, and then tell me if you see anything wrong with that picture when you hold it up against the picture of the color of the world's population. We confuse God and government. We believe God is on the side of the wealthy. We believe it's all right to send our military to fight, and if necessary, to die in Iraq and anywhere else we decide is a part of the axis of evil, while George W. cuts the military benefits so that when those boys and girls come back home, they can be as bad off as some of the Iraqis that we just liberated. We confuse God and government. We do. We believe we have a right to Iraqi oil. We believe we have a right to Venezuelan oil. We believe we got a right to all the oil on the face of the earth, and we got the military to take it if necessary. Or as George W. piously says, as God so leads him. We confusing God and government. We believe it is all right to decimate the Afro-Colombian community by arming the paramilitary with United States tax dollars, our dollars, a hired military whose real job is to protect the oil line owned by United States companies tied to the presidency, which was stolen by the oil interest. We confusing God and government, and it gets worse. It gets worse. We've got a paranoid group of patriots in power that now, in the interests of homeland stupidity, I mean homeland security, they are taking away the constitutional right of free speech because it's harmful to the interests of national security. And those interests equate God with government. Our money says in God we trust. And our military says we will kill you under the orders of our commander-in-chief if you dare to believe otherwise. We are still confusing God and government in the year 2003, just like they confuse it in Luke 19. Well, in case you are in that great number, and I understand from the polls that the number has gone up, still confused. If you're in that number of confused folk 2,000 years after Christ, let me share three quick things with you just to help clear up your confusion. Turn to your neighbor and say, now listen, you got to say it right. Say it with attitude and with ebonics. Say he fitting to help somebody tonight. Turn on the other side and say fitting up. Government hit number one. Governments lie. This government lied about their belief that all men were created equal. The truth is they believed all white men were created equal. The truth is they did not believe that even white women were created equal in creation nor in civilization. The government had had to pass an amendment to the Constitution to get white women to vote. Then the government had to pass an equal rights amendment to get equal protection under the law for women. The government still thinks a woman has no rights over her own body, and between Uncle Clarence, who sexually harassed Anita Hill, and a closeted Klan court that is a throwback to the 19th century, handpicked by Daddy Bush, Ronald Reagan, Gerald Ford, hung between Clarence and that stacked court, they're about to undo Roe versus Wade, just like they're about to undo affirmative action. The government lied in its founding documents, and the government is still lying today. Government's lie. Turn to your neighbor and say, government's lie.
Living hell sleeps under when the grand scheme plan keeps all these people wondering why we still running in place, frustrated. Pride is mistaken for hate, it's upgraded. I got a little breath left, less suffocated. Pointed the epiphanies and call them all drug related. The time I spent with my life unbent, trying to find the friends inside my head. Must have disengaged every phase and stage. But I'm coming of age. My unofficial auto bio will be accompanied with tips on how to smile. Cause I found that when they don't see you frown, they never know that you're a threat and they don't sweat you when you come around. So who's gonna be my next door savior? Step up to your neighbor and do me a favor. Take off the mask, let it all collapse. Empty the pack and watch your wings grow back. They want us to fight, but we just wanna get high. Work all day, all night, trying to get fly. When I get some money, I'ma buy me some time. I can't fight you more until I'm finished with mine. They want us to fight, but we just wanna get high. Work all day, all night, trying to get fly. When I get some money, I'ma buy me some time. I can't fight you more until I'm finished with mine. Society becomes jealousy, intimacy becomes intensity. Say it with a smile like it's meant to be, and all of a sudden, boom, American family. And I can tell when you're mad at your past, because you tend to take them turns just a little too fast. I can tell how you push your foot on the gas, that you already knew that you was gonna finish last. Slow it down and take a little time to look up at them clouds with the fake silver lining. Up in a tree knowing damn well you'll never reach the top, but you don't stop, you keep climbing. Well, okay, it's settled, no more nights in this weed and thorn infested metal. From this day forth, only forward I pedal. Get the memo, I'm cutting the strings to pedal. Shuffle the cards and let's argue, rooted in between the computer games and cartoons. Stop and watch us all get lost between God and a shot of scotch. Let's get fly.
They want us to fight, but we just wanna get high. Work all day, all night, trying to get fly. When I get some money, I'ma buy me some time. I can't fight you more until I'm finished with mine. They want us to fight, but we just wanna get high. Work all day, all night, trying to get fly. When I get some money, I'ma buy me some time. I can't fight you more until I'm finished with mine.
Lied. The government lied about the Gulf of Tonkin. They wanted that resolution to get us in the Vietnam War. Governments lied. The government lied about Nelson Mandela, and our CIA helped put him in prison and keep him there for 27 years. The South African government lied on Nelson Mandela. Governments lied. Turn back to your neighbor and say it again. Governments lied. The government lied about the Tuskegee experiment. They infected African American men with syphilis. Governments lied. The government lied about bombing Cambodia. And Richard Nixon stood in front of the camera. Let me make myself perfectly clear. We are not. The government's lied. The government lied about the drugs for arms Contra scheme orchestrated. perpetrated by Oliver North, and then they pardoned, the government pardoned all of the perpetrators so they could get better jobs in the government. Governments lied. The government lied about inventing the HIV virus as a means of genocide against people of color. Governments lied. The government lied about a connection between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein, and a connection between 9-1-1-01 and Operation Iraqi Freedom. Governments lied. The government lied about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq being a threat to the United States peace. And guess what else? If they don't find them some weapons of mass destruction, they're going to do just like the LAPD and plant them some weapons of mass destruction. Governments lie. But I'm finna to help you. I'm finna to tell your neighbor he finna to help us. Where governments lie, God does not lie. Write it down, Numbers 23:19. It says, God is not man that he should lie. Now that's the King James translation. The New Revised Translation says, repeat it after me so you won't forget it. God is not a human being that he should lie. Say it again. God is not a human being that he should lie. Let's say it together. God is not a human being that he should lie. Where governments lie, God does not lie. That's number one. Number two, governments change. Long before there was a red, white, and blue colonization, the Egyptian government was doing colonization. They colonized half the continent of Africa and colonized parts of the Mediterranean. All colonizers ain't white. Turn to your neighbor and say, oppressors come in all colors. Hello, hello, hello. But where the government of Egypt and Pharaoh ran it, they don't run a thing today. Why? Because governments change. When the Babylonians carried away the people of promise into exile, the Babylonian government was the baddest government around. But when King Nebuchadnezzar went crazy, his government was replaced by the government of King Belshazzar. King Belshazzar held a great big feast, big banquet, defiled the sacred vessels stolen from the temple in Jerusalem, and a hand appeared out of nowhere and started writing on the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson. And Daniel translated the writing for the king and told him, here's what it means, king. You can find this in Daniel 5. Write it down. Mene, God has numbered the days of your government and brought it to an end. Governments change. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales of justice and you're too light to balance the scales. Parson, that's from the verb peres. Your kingdom, your government is divided and given now to the Medes and to the Persians. And the Bible says that night, that same night, King Belshazzar was killed and Darius the Mede took over the government. Gap governments change, y'all. Darius was replaced later on by another government. And then another 70 years later, King Cyrus said to the people of promise, y'all can go back home. All I'm trying to get you to see is that governments change. Prior to Abraham Lincoln, the government in this country said it was legal to hold Africans in slavery in perpetuity. Perpetuity is one of the University of Chicago words. That means forever. From now on. When Lincoln got in office, the government changed. Prior to the passing of the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments to the Constitution, the government defined Africans as slaves, as property. Property. People with no rights to be respected by any whites anywhere. The Supreme Court of the government, same court, granddaddy court of the one that stole the 2000 election. Supreme Court said in its Dred Scott decision in the 1850s, no African anywhere in this country has any rights that any white person has to respect at any place, anytime. That was the government's official position, backed up by the Supreme Court, that's the judiciary, backed up by the executive branch, that's the president, backed up by the legislative branch, and enforced by the military of But I stop by to tell you tonight that governments change. Prior to Harry Truman's government, the military in this country was segregated. But governments change. Prior to the civil rights and equal accommodations laws of the government in this country, there was back segregation by the country, legal discrimination by the government, prohibited blacks from voting by the government. You had to eat in separate places by the government. You had to sit in different places from white folk because the government said so. And you had to be buried in a separate cemetery. It was apartheid American style from the cradle to the grave, all because the government backed it up. But guess what? Governments changed under Bill Clinton. We got a messed up welfare to work bill, but under Clinton, blacks had an intelligent friend in the Oval Office. Oh, but governments changed. The election was stolen. We went from an intelligent friend to a dumb Dixiecrat, a rich Republican who has never held a job in his life, is against affirmative action, against education, I guess he is, against health care, against benefits for his own military, and gives tax breaks to the wealthiest contributors to his campaign. Governments change sometimes for the good and sometimes for the bad. But I'm fitting to help you again. Turn back and say, he's fitting to help us again. Where governments change, write this down, Malachi 3:6. Malachi 3:6, thus saith the Lord. Repeat it after me, for I am the Lord, and I change not. That's the King James Version. The New Revised says, for I, the Lord, do not change. In other words, where governments change, God does not change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's what his name, I am, means, you know. He does not change. There is no shadow of turning in God. One songwriter puts it this way: as thou hast been, thou forever will be. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. God does not change. God was against slavery on yesterday, and God, who does not change, is still against slavery today. God was a God of love yesterday, and God, who does not change, is still a God of love today. God was a God of justice on yesterday, and God, who does not change, is still a God of justice today. Turn to your neighbor and say, God does not change. Where governments lie, God does not lie. Where governments change, God does not change. And I'm through now. But let me leave you with one more thing. Governments fail. The government in this text, comprised of Caesar, Quirinius, Pontius Pilate, Pontius Pilate, the Roman government failed. The British government used to rule from east to west. The British government had a Union Jack. She colonized Kenya, Ghana, Nigeria, Jamaica, Barbados, Trinidad, and Hong Kong. Her navies ruled the seven seas all the way down to the tip of Argentina in the Falklands. But the British government failed. The Russian government failed. The Japanese government failed. The German government failed. And the United States of America government, when it came to treating her citizens of Indian descent fairly, she failed. She put them on reservations. When it came to treating her citizens of Japanese descent fairly, she failed. She put them in internment prison camps. When it came to treating the citizens of African descent fairly, America failed. She put them in chains. The government put them on slave quarters, put them on auction blocks, put them in cotton fields, put them in inferior schools, put them in substandard housing, put them in scientific experiments, put them in the lowest paying jobs, put them outside the equal protection of the law, kept them out of their racist bastions of higher education and lock them into positions of hopelessness and helplessness. The government gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God damn America. That's in the Bible for killing innocent people. God damn America for treating our citizens as less than human. God damn America. As long as she tries to act like she is God and she is supreme. The United States government has failed the vast majority of her citizens of African descent. Think about this. Think about this. For every one Oprah, a billionaire, you got 5 million blacks who are out of work. For every one Colin Powell, a millionaire, you got 10 million blacks who cannot read. For every one Condoleezza Rice, you got 1 million in prison. For every one Tiger Woods who needs to get beat at the Masters with his fat blazing hips playing on a course that discriminates against women. God has his way of bringing you up short when you get too big for your cat blazing britches. For every one Tiger Woods, we got 10,000 black kids who will never see a golf course. The United States government has failed the vast majority of our citizens of African descent. But I'm fitting to help you one last time. Tell your neighbor, say he's fitting to help us one last time. Turn back and say, forgive him for the goddamn. That's in the Bible, Lord. Blessings and curses is in the Bible. It's in the Bible. But I'm sitting to help you one last time. Let me tell you something. Where governments fail, God never fails. When God says it, it's done. God never fails. When God wills it, you better get out the way. Because God never fails. When God fixes it, oh, believe me, it's fixed. God never fails. Somebody right now, you think you can't make it, but I want you to know that you are more than a conqueror through Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. To the world, it looks like God has failed in God's plan of salvation when the Savior that was sent by God was put to death on a Friday afternoon. It looked like God failed, but singing, God never fails. You can't put down what God raises up. God never fails. You can't keep down what God wants up. God never fails. If God can get a three-day Jesus up out of a grave, what's going on in your life that in any way can match what God has already done? He abides with you. He'll reside in you. And he'll preside and stop taking your problems back. See, we always bring our problems to the altar and then we take them right on back to our seat. Turn back and say, stop taking them back. God never fails. Turn and tell them, God never fails. God never fails. Doors of the church are open tonight. God never fails.